in times of distress, in different circumstances in life, there are various questions that are raised. Questions that we've asked ourselves in the past year may have been, why is this happening? When is this going to end? When are we going to come out of lockdown? When are restrictions going to be eased? When are the rates of infection going to go down? Questions like, is my job security going to be okay? What is going to happen tomorrow? How will we provide? So in different circumstances in life raises different types of questions. And in different difficulties in life that we face will raise a different set of questions. Maybe you've gone through a personal trauma and thought, why has this happened in my life? Maybe you are going through a valley right now and you are thinking, when is this valley going to end? Maybe you are going through something and you think, I'm a Christian. So why is this happening to me? Surely if God loves me, I wouldn't do this to my child. So why is God allowing this in my life? And there are different instances in our lives where we raise different questions because of the difficulties that we are facing. And it was exactly the same during the period of time from Christ dying upon the cross until that glorious day when he rose from the dead. Because the disciples, I'm sure, as they scattered, were asking questions. Surely we thought this was the Messiah. Why did it end this way? Maybe going over things in their minds. Was it something that we did? What happened? What could we have done differently? You know, Thomas, as they were heading towards Bethany when they were going to, when the Lord was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and Thomas said, "Lord, we'll come with you and we'll die with you." And now he's nowhere to be seen, and maybe he's thinking in his mind, "What went wrong? What happened? Was it something I did? Was it something I said?" There are many instances in our lives where we have those type of questions. And I just want to look at three questions that were raised at the tomb on that day that the Lord Jesus Christ, on that morning that he rose from the dead. Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We'll just read the first six verses. It says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth and said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time together this morning and for this opportunity to come around your word. Thank you, Lord, for all those that have come today, for those following online. We just pray that you would speak to our hearts. Father, what an incredible day. What an incredible way to come and celebrate the Lord's resurrection. What an incredible way to come and remember all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for each and every one of us. And I'm sure that for those 3 days, the disciples and those that followed the Lord Jesus Christ had some of their darkest moments and even darkest thoughts. And Father, maybe there are some here today that are going through that 3 day period, if you like. Maybe they're just waiting for that resurrection Sunday to occur in their own lives. Maybe there's somebody here who's lost in darkness and is dead in trespasses and sins and needs that resurrection light to shine upon their hearts for them to recognize what Christ did for them. Maybe there's somebody here today who knows you as their Savior but is struggling and is in the darkest valley they've ever been in. And Father, I pray that today they would have that resurrection light shine upon their hearts to realize what they have in their relationship with you. Father, I pray that you would help in such an incredible way today. And I'm sure each and every one of us has some kind of question on our hearts today. And I pray that through the message today, through our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you would answer those questions and that you would give us the peace that is needed in these dark, desperate and difficult days. We pray and ask these things in Christ's most precious, matchless and perfect name. Amen. The first question I want us to look at is the question about the stone. Well, that's small, isn't it? The question about the stone. Luke informs us that it was early on the Sunday morning when the women returned to their tomb. And their purpose was to anoint the body. It was, for all intents and purposes, it was rushed. on the night that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Joseph had gone to Pilate to make sure he could have the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord had to be in the grave before the Sabbath started, the high Sabbath which followed the Passover. So the Lord Jesus Christ had died upon the cross at 3 o'clock. The Lord had to be in the ground, and Joseph and Nicodemus and those, they had to be back in their homes before 6 o'clock. So it was rushed to get the Lord Jesus Christ's body prepared as best as possible to go into the tomb. So the women are coming back to finish the task of preparing the Lord's body, to place those spices upon the grave clothes of the Lord. And the question is, we're going to come to the question about the stone being rolled away. I'm always asking questions. Why were they going there in the first place? And you might be saying, well, you've just told us they're going there to anoint the body. But the Lord said he would rise again on the third day. So why are they going there in the first place? They go in because they didn't believe the Lord's words. They go in because they obviously forgot what the Lord said about rising again on the third day. And as they journey towards the tomb, women are practical. Let's be honest, men. Women are practical. We are quite hopeless. We haven't got a practical side of us. As you notice, as Andrew was stood there trying to sing with a mask on, the practicality of his wife was going. And then the realization sets in, and then the mask comes off, and then we can hear your beautiful voice. Most people probably thought you should have left your mask on, but then. So the women are practical. What's the first thing that comes through their mind? How are we going to roll the stone away? This stone is massive. You know, this is not just some pebble that's been, a few pebbles been placed. This stone was immovable. And they were guards set upon the tomb. So how are they going to convince the guards to move out of the way? How are they going to break the seal that has been put upon the stone to stop anybody getting to the body? Because that's how paranoid the Pharisees were. It says, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? The word said is in the imperfect tense, which means they continually said. That's all they talked about on the way where, as they journeyed towards the garden tomb, they just kept saying, girls, how are we going to get this stone away? Girls, what are we going to do? How they just kept on going over and over and over and over. It was their chief concern. When the women arrived, however, they had a bit of a shock. The stone was already rolled away. In verse 2 of Luke 24, it says, and they found the stone rolled away. So why? Why was the stone rolled away? Let me tell you this first and foremost. The stone wasn't rolled away so that the Lord Jesus Christ could get out. Let's just make that clear. The stone was rolled away because it was proof of his prophecy. It symbolized the fulfillment of Christ's promise that he would rise on the third day. Matthew 16:21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Matthew 17:22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again, and they would exceed in sorrow. Matthew 20, verse 18. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to be mocked, and to be scourged, and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. He told the disciples he would rise again. He told them on the third day he would rise from the dead. The rolled stone was proof that his prophecy was true. You see, the stone was rolled away not to allow the Lord Jesus Christ out, but to allow us to look in. It was proof of his prophecy. It was proof of his person. The deity of the Lord Jesus Christ was mocked, and is even mocked today. People will say, nowhere in the Bible did the Lord Jesus Christ ever claim to be God. Every day this week we've put up on our social media platforms the 7 I Am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each and every one of them indicating that he is the great I Am. He said to when people talked to him about Abraham, and the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, before Abraham was, I am. That is a name that God gave to Moses from the burning bush when Moses said, whom shall I say has sent me? And the angel of the Lord answered from the burning bush, I am that I am. I am has sent you, the all-sufficient, self-sufficient one. Christ claimed to be the I am. And the roll stone was proof of his deity. His deity was mocked and scorned by the religious unbelievers. And his resurrection put to silence all of those unbelief. Because he proved who he was. There was nothing that they could say. How could they explain that away? It was proof of his provision. The roll stone created a curiosity. It invited inspection into the tomb. The angels themselves said, come and see. Don't take my word for it. You know, you might look at me and think, you're just up there because that's what you're paid to do. Well, don't take my word for it. Come and see for yourselves. That's the invitation. Right the way throughout the scripture, come. God said to Noah, come into the ark for salvation. God extends the invitation to us. Come unto me, all you that labour and heavy laden. He said to the disciples when they said, where dwellest thou? Come and see. The Spirit and the bride say, come. If you're at thirst, come. That's the invitation. Come and see for yourselves. The roll stone was proof of his provision. Why was the tomb empty? Where did the Lord Jesus Christ go? And if people ask that question with an open heart and with an open mind, then they'll turn to Romans 10:19, and it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the provision. The roll stone shows us the provision of Christ. Because he's alive, we can trust his words. Why? Because he said he'd rise again. If we can trust his word that he would rise again, guess what? We can trust his word when he says, if you call on me, I'll save you. We can trust his word when he says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. We can trust his word when he says, no man will pluck you out of the Father's hand. We can trust his word when he says, when the time is right, when it's time for you to leave this pilgrimage on earth, I'll take you to glory with myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The roll stone was a proof of his provision. It was a proof of his power. The Jewish leaders were concerned that Christ's body would be stolen, and they asked Pilate to secure the tomb. Pilate told these leaders to use their own guards and to secure and seal the tomb. It didn't matter how many guards were on the stone. It didn't matter how many seals they put upon the stone. It didn't matter what the Pharisees said. It didn't matter what the religious establishment said. It didn't matter what the leaders of the day said. It didn't matter if the whole Roman Empire stood at the tomb that day. It didn't matter if there were legions and legions and legions of soldiers holding that stone that it was shut. They had no power over God Almighty. And the roll stone proves his power. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone, set in a watch. What man tries to seal, God can open. Didn't matter how many soldiers or guards or whatever was there. It didn't matter. What man tries to conceal, God can reveal. Man's defiance is always trumped, if you like, by God's power. Pharaoh found that out when he thought that his army would destroy the Jews as they crossed the Red Sea. But the Lord had the last laugh, as it were, when it came to Pharaoh. Nebuchadnezzar thought that he could burn God's servants who were faithful to God in the flaming furnace, only to find out that God was with them in the fire. Haman thought that he could destroy the Jews and erected a gallows to get rid of a thorn in his flesh called a Jewish man called Mordecai. But God's hand saw to it that it was Haman that ended up upon those gallows, that the Jews were allowed to defend their lives. The scheme of man put Daniel in a lion's den, but guess what? The very men that schemed against Daniel ended up being the special on the menu for the lions the following day. It was proof of God's power. Doesn't matter what man does. Listen, doesn't matter what man does today. That's not going to overrule God's power. That's not going to overrule God's sovereignty. That's not going to overrule who God is and what he's done in our lives. It was proof of his passion. The Lord knew that the women would be there that day. I've got to be careful now because something's going through my mind that I know I shouldn't say. I'm not going to say it. No, I'm not going to say the Lord knew they're the weaker sex and they couldn't move the stone away because that would just be too politically incorrect. And then we'd lose half the congregation and Facebook would just be full of hate comments of how I'm such an awful person. So I won't say that. But the Lord knew that the women couldn't roll that stone away. The Lord knows what you were going through before you even go through it. The Lord knows what stone you need rolled away in your life. How incredible that the Lord makes provisions for us way before we even get to that point in our lives. The rolled stone was just simply a proof of his passion. And then we have a question about the Saviour. In verse 3, the ladies entered in, they found not the body of the Lord Jesus, and it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces unto the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? The Lord's body was missing. The women made the first conclusion they came up with that somebody stolen the body. John 20 verse 2, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said unto them, they have taken the Lord out of the sepulchre and we know not where they have laid him. In verse 13, they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord and I know not where they have laid him. In verse 15 of John 20, Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. They thought somebody had stolen the body. The word in verse 4, where it says perplexed, is from a Greek word which means to be in doubt, not knowing which way to turn, to be out of trouble, to be out of loss. Can I say this? When the Lord was missing, as it were, they were out of loss, they were perplexed. When the Lord is missing from somebody's life, people are perplexed. People are at a loss. The world has absolutely lost its mind with what's going on today. But I'm thankful for the believers who are firmly fixed upon the foundation of God's word. That we're not perplexed. We're not at a loss. Why? Because we know where God is. We know that he's in control. We know that we will be able to come through this one way or another. The world will look for help and answers in all kinds of places. I did it long enough. You knew that life was pretty much meaningless. What's the point? What's the point in getting up every day? You go to work, you pay bills, and then for what? Surely there must be more to this. You see, God is built into every single person. Because we're created in his image, every person deep down knows that God exists. Even the atheist believes that there's a God. They just don't want to admit that there's a God, because then they'll have to answer to that God. The women were perplexed. They were upset. They were in doubt. They saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body had of Jesus had lain. And these angels say to the ladies, why seek ye the living among the dead? These women were afraid. They were terrified. They were trembling. Why seek ye the living among the dead? That's a question about the Saviour. And it's a question that deals with common sense. Why would a living person be dwelling among the dead? That was the perspective of the angels. Salvation is something the angels desire to look into. I think we confuse the angels. Because I think they look at man and wonder, why on earth does God see so much in these people. What? They don't make any sense. I had a thought going through my mind now, but I'm not going to go there because I'm already in trouble. But it was a question that dealt with common sense. The women came to the grave because they truly believed that Jesus was dead. They didn't believe that he would be resurrected on the third day. They didn't believe his word when he said time and time again he would rise again. And we see the angels, if you like, offer a mild rebuke. Speaking to their common sense, why are you looking for somebody who was alive among those who were all dead? When it comes to Christ, common sense tells us that he's the Savior of the world. If you want to have life, then don't seek life in dead things. Ephesians tells us that we are dead in trespasses and sins before we come to know the Lord. But in the Lord, we're made alive. Why seek ye the living among the dead? It deals with celebration. What a day. You know, in terms of the Christian calendar, and I might upset a lot of people here, to me this is far more significant and exciting and wonderful than Christmas is. As much as I love Christmas, I am a big Christmas fan. Not as much as Sophie, but I'm a big Christmas fan. But today is an incredible day. Today is, what a day to celebrate. You know, because if we only celebrated the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, there'd be no hope. If we only remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no future. But because of his resurrection, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not there. He's risen. And that is that question deals with celebration. We have something to celebrate today because he's alive, we can live also. There is no fear in death. There is no sting in death. There is no victory in the grave because those who know Christ as their Savior need never fear death. Like Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. This is a day of celebration. You know, they've gone through the darkness of the cross. They've gone through the darkness of those few days, not knowing what would happen next. But this day, the light shined, if you were, not just in their souls, not just in their minds, not just in their conscience, not just in their hearts, but for all eternity. Because Christ rose. It was a question of celebration. The Lord is alive. So why are you seeking for him among the dead? Because of Christ, we can celebrate. We can celebrate life today. Yes, we can celebrate life even in the midst of such difficult circumstances. Why? Because our hope is not in this world. Because of Christ, we can celebrate life now. We can celebrate our future because our home is in heaven. Our home is secure. Our home is certain. It was a question that deals with circumstances. Why are you here, girls? What are you doing here? Why seek ye the living among you there? What is your purpose? I think that's one of the greatest questions on man's lips today. What is the point? What is the meaning of life? What is the purpose? Why am I here? Where am I going? Christ answers those questions. You are here for a purpose. As a believer, our purpose is to glorify God. Well, what are we doing? We're meant to be doing the will of God. What is our purpose? To put Christ first. To proclaim his love to a lost and dying world so that others might come to know the hope and the strength and the power and the love and the mercy and the grace that we find in Christ and Christ alone. It's a question that deals with confusion. It's not the ladies that were confused. It was the angels. What are you doing? Why are you here? He's not here. He's risen. He told you he would rise again. You know, if God says something, as an angelic host, we just believe him. But you were meant to be his disciples. You were meant to be his followers. Christ told you he would rise from the dead. So why didn't you believe him? For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And with a triumphant cheer, the angels proclaim, he is not here, but he is risen. Can I say this? When facing adversity, You do not need to be overwhelmed because he's here, he's risen. When you are alone, you don't need to despair because he's risen. When you fear, you don't need to be afraid because he's risen. When you're fretful, you can take courage because he's risen. When anguish smothers you, you can take a breath because he is risen. And then finally, we have the question about the sinner. He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, on the third day rise again. The angels proclaim the resurrection of Christ, and they remind the women of the Lord's words. Do you remember what he said? And they're not asking a question about the Savior. They're asking a question about the women, about the sinner. The sad fact of the matter is this. Those who believed the Lord Jesus Christ didn't believe that he would rise from the dead. Those who did not believe the Lord Jesus Christ believed that he would rise from the dead. The next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people he has risen from the dead, so the last death shall be worse than the first. The Pharisees were aware that the Lord Jesus Christ said he would rise from the dead. And they didn't want that to happen. Whether it was true or false, they wanted to prevent that from happening. The women had forgotten. How many of you struggle with forgetfulness? I am useless. You know, Jo will say to me, can you do this? Yeah, no problem. She'll even sit there and say, look at me now. Repeat after me. Yeah, love, I'll do it. I've said I'll do it. And that's my word. You need to take that my word. Later in the day then, she said, did you do so and so? I was like, no, I forgot. How could you forget? I got you to repeat it to me. I am just so forgetful. I said this last week and I'll say it again. If you've ever texted me and you've not had a reply from me, I'm not rude intentionally. Well, some people I don't want to talk to, but I'm not rude intentionally. I just read the text and I'm like, oh, great. And I'll just forget the text back. And then I watch Joe text in, and I didn't even realize there were that many emojis. I didn't even know it was possible. If you ever get a text from Joe, Kay, or Roslyn, then praise the Lord, you don't have to remember when you used to get charged per word, and that's where all the text speak used to come from, LOL and all of that. I'm glad they don't do that, because your phone bill would be a fortune. It's like a million emojis. Anyway, where am I going? And so I'm just forgetful. Sometimes, as Christians, we forget. For the women forgot the words of the Lord. He said he would rise again. Did they forget that? They forgot the works of the Lord. Had they not seen the widow of Nain's son raised from the dead? Had they not seen Jairus' daughter raised from the dead? Had they not been there or heard of Lazarus being raised from the dead by the Lord Jesus Christ? They forgot his words, what he said. They forgot his works, what he did. They forgot who he was. And we are forgetful today. I don't like this next point, because it might get me in trouble. We're forgetful with God when we refuse to listen. I think that's why I might be forgetful when Joe tells me to do something. Because there's like other stuff going on in my mind. Sorry, I didn't hear you. We forget when we refuse to listen. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. I remember Selwyn Hughes spoke up in Bethany and Nicaea a couple of years ago, and I remember he spoke on the letters of the seven churches in Revelation. And I remember to this day, in a softly gentle spoken voice, he just came forward on the platform and he said, are you listening? Are you really listening? I think the Lord comes alongside us sometimes and says, child, are you listening? Are you really listening? We forget the words of the Lord because 9 times out of 10 we're not listening. Maybe we're not reading our Bible. Maybe when we come to a service like that, we're not really listening, thinking about, come on, now it's getting close to 12, the meat is in the oven, and you know, we got things to do, and am I going to be able to get out of the car park now in time? And sometimes our mind is all over the place. Do we forget because we refuse to listen to the Lord? Do we forget because we replace him? They sacrifice unto devils, not to God. The gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten that God formed thee. Do we replace God in our lives? After all that he's done for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, what do we replace him with? Listen, there's plenty that the world is trying to get our attention with. There's plenty in the world today to distract us with whatever it is. But what is in our life that we have completely and utterly replaced God with? Are we trusting in something else instead of holding on to God's word? Are we believing something else instead of believing the word of God? What have we replaced God with? We forget when we reject his words. Psalm 50 and verse 17 says, seeing thou hast a hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee, when thou sawest a thief, then thou contendest with him and hast been partaker with adulteress. Thou givest thy mouth to evil and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Have we forgotten God because we've replaced him, we refuse to listen to him, or we've just rejected him? I read this story this morning about a groom who was an amateur golf champion. And he decided to use a golf illustration in his wedding, along with a golf ball. So he recruited the best man to bring a golf ball and hand it to him at the appropriate time in the ceremony. The following day, as the processional began, he asked the best man if he remembered the ball. Smiling, the best man reaches into his pocket, and as he's bringing out the golf ball, his expression suddenly changed. He remembered the golf ball, but forgot the wedding rings. The golf ball had distracted him from his most important responsibility. Sometimes we forget God because we're distracted. This last year has been one big distraction. And it's been interesting to watch those that have focused their attention upon the Lord and those that have focused their attention upon what's happening. We recognize that this is unprecedented times. We recognize what is going on in the world is desperate. But that ought not to take our attention away from what the Lord's word says. We ought not to replace God because of what's going on in the world. He's my anchor. He's the rock. He's my foundation. And that's who I'm going to hold on to in a storm of life. That's who I am going to build my life upon. Because that's the only foundation that will be sure. I'm not going to build upon the sandy foundations of the world that will just collapse. I'm going to build upon the foundation of I don't want to forget him. I'm not going to replace it. I'm not going to reject his word. I'm not going to refuse to listen to him. We need that voice clearer in our minds today more than ever before because of the day we're living in. What a day. Imagine. You ever had a day like that where it started off and you thought, this day just can't get any worse. And then it does. And then there are days that start off so badly and you think this can't get any worse. And then suddenly by the end of the day, you're just completely euphoric. I think that day that the ladies headed to the tomb was one of the darkest days of their lives. And yet by the end of it, they were celebrated. Because the darkness of this world could not quench the light of the world, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Does your stone need to be rolled away today? The questions you have about where your life is headed or what's going on in this pandemic. Can I say this? The Lord Jesus Christ can and will help. Always has then. Always will. For those who call upon his name. Maybe you were here this morning. Maybe you're listening online and you've never trusted Christ as your Saviour. Maybe today will be the day that you recognise what Christ did for you when he died upon that cross. When he was buried and when he rose again from the grave. He did that for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Would you come to know him today? Would you come to know that incredible saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you accept him yourself? God doesn't affect man's free will. It's your choice. You can either accept him or reject him. God won't force his love upon anybody. But it is available to everybody. And I wonder if the Lord has spoken to your heart today. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time together. This morning, Lord, we just pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts. We just ask that if there's anyone listening to this message who has never trusted Christ as their Saviour, may today be the day that they call upon his name. Father, we pray that you would help us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to have that spirit of celebration, as it were. We recognize how dark the world is. We recognize how desperate the world is. We recognize how difficult the world is becoming to live in as a believer. But Father, we're thankful for the fact that we have a Savior that has promised to never leave us and to never forsake us. Lord, I pray that whatever the need is here today, that that need would be met. And that as you speak to people's hearts today, that they would be convicted by what they hear, and that they would be those that would be comforted by what they hear. Father, we just pray now that your will would be done here in this place, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask the last group to come now and we sing our closing hymn. And then following this, then I'll dismiss everybody and just let you know when the live stream's finished then how we're going to dismiss from church. Amen. Thank you.
Father, we thank you again, Lord, for this time together today. We're thankful for the fact that because of your death, burial, and resurrection, you have conquered the grave. You have given us victory over death because of your sacrifice on the cross. And Father, I'm just so thankful for the fact that my sins are forgiven, not because of who I am or because of anything that I have to offer, but because of what Christ did upon the cross. And I'm thankful for the fact that his blood has cleansed my sin and has granted me a home in heaven. And Father, if there's anyone here that's never done that, then I pray that today would be that day that they would call upon the Lord. Father, we're thankful that we can celebrate today. We recognize the darkness of the hours upon the cross of Calvary. But we see that contrasted by the light that we recognize today. The world could not contain the light of the world. The devil couldn't keep him. Death couldn't handle him. The grave had no power over him. We're thankful for the fact that Christ is risen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, for he has risen as he said. And we serve a risen Saviour today. And Father, I just pray that you will help us to be comforted by not just the Lord's words, but by his presence in our lives every single day. We love you so much. We just pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.